Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The number is 800-919-3776. I'm going to say it one more time for the people in the back. 800-919-3776. Here's why. Because you get a lot of times now, this time of year with playoff games and intensity and all that other stuff, what you get a lot of times on Twitter at night when controversy happens, when you get reactions from fans who are angry, who are happy, all that stuff. You want to celebrate and you want to complain. You want to be mad. You want to rant. You have all that going on. And the tweets I get are always like, you're going to talk about this tomorrow on your show? My response is, hell yeah. If it means a lot to you, it means a lot to me. So with that in mind, I'm going to call people out right now. It's roll call time for you, Islanders fans. Because I heard all of you last night. I saw the tweets, saw the reactions, everything else. And I know you're mad. You have every right to be mad. You want to react. Your opportunity to do that is now. And here's the thing. I don't want to hear it from a lot of you Islanders fans and all you hockey fans who always go, you can't talk hockey, you never talk hockey, and all that stuff. I do this all the time. Because when your opportunity comes up to step to the plate, you got to step up. You got to show up. And I let everybody know last night, oh, hell yeah, we're going to talk about this. And you know what I'm talking about. And that is the Islanders losing game two last night to the Hurricanes. I thought they played a really good game. You got a couple of lucky bounces. And yeah, they were lucky bounces that Carolina took advantage of. Look, good teams, right? The luck is always going to be on your side when you have effort and everything else. But the Islanders deserve to win this game. Their goaltending let them down. Yeah, I said it. Sorokin's got to be better. Can't get a goal off the back of your head to tie the game in a third period. Are you serious? But the lack of a call on the high stick is something that is up for great debate. And I'm gonna admit something here that a lot of people on Sports Talk Radio do not like to admit. People don't normally like to say this kind of stuff because in our business, you're supposed to be an expert on everything. You're supposed to know everything. And if you don't, fake it till you make it. But there are some things that you have to say. I don't know the answer to this. I'm not sure. Because was that a high stick against Mayfield? Should that have been called or not? And so, you know, some of the argument is, well, he popped the stick up and hit him in the face, so you let that play on. What officials saw that in real time? Like we had to watch it back in slow motion. Seriously, what officials saw that? Because earlier in the game, and those who watched it know what I'm talking about, earlier in the game, I believe it was there Sebastian Aho was hit against the boards, and then a high stick caught him as part of the collision. And there was no call made. Then all of a sudden, the officials got together, and the linesman's like, yeah, I saw the stick hit him in the face. So we can have, because there was blood on his face, and their bench is going nuts. So we can have a conference about that play, but we can't have a conference in overtime about a similar type of play where I don't know what I saw, but I know he's got a cut in his face. Then we just let that go, right? That's my frustration with the whole thing. Again, I don't know the rule, the letter of the law. All I know is that I've been told many times before that you have to be in control of your stick. And he wasn't. It was a careless move with the stick behind him. And did Scott Mayfield pop the stick? Yes, he did. You see in the replay, he did. But was it something that you would say, oh, completely innocent? No. So I understand if Islander fans right now are frustrated to no end because that call wasn't made, and moments later, the Canes score the winning goal in overtime, and they go up 2-0. The other thing to point out is this. The Canes got 6 power plays. Islanders had none. In a playoff game, Carolina played a perfect game? A lot of things that we can talk about, and we'll do it with you. 800-919-3776. And before I bring in Bart Scott, let's hear from Brock Nelson. Because the one thing that the players have to do is move on.
We got to go home, turn the page, refocus, come out with a similar effort. I can't imagine it's going to be, you know, six penalties against and none for the next game. So look forward to special teams, you know, playing a part in the next game, and got to do the job at home.
All right, Bart Scott.
Yeah, you hear the frustration in his voice. It's a little subtle poke. That can't
imagine. Happen again.
Yeah, can't imagine it won't happen again. So you think.
Mm-hmm. But as an athlete, though,
it's frustrating.
It's hard because the officiating, sometimes you could say
it's inconsistent.
It feels like it's going against you. No referee goes into a game going, oh, I can't wait to screw the Islanders tonight.
It's just inconsistency, right? You know, I mean, as my fingers are really sticky right now, you know what I mean?
We'll get into that, Max Scherzer.
It's the inconsistency in the calls, right? If one thing is a penalty, if that's how you call it during the game, then it should be called all the time. If, like you said, if you had a conference before, you should have a conference again. Clearly, the blood didn't come on my face for nothing, no reason. Clearly, something happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back, and that's, you know, that should be the benefit of having people. You know, I don't know where their headquarters is. You know, as far as, you know, they're you know, they can speak to them when they're doing reviews and stuff like that. Like, I know, you know, Major League is what in C Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you call it back, but sometimes you got to cheat. It's better to get it right than having people figure out who told you it was right. And maybe not eliminating the human element, but being able to assist it, because we know something is happening. We understand the gravity of making one call for one team and not making a call for the other team.
Right.
You know, and sometimes, you know, I think you should have these conferences so you can huddle up, so that you can have time for replay back wherever your headquarters is to be able to get it right. Because at the end of the day, that's all people really care about.
Isn't it amazing, though, that earlier in the game we can do that? Earlier in the game we can get together – as a player is, you know, got blood on his face, mm-hmm. No call was made. And then all of a sudden we get together and the linesman, and that is a new thing now. The linesman can tell the referee what he saw. And if he saw
from
something, and then they'll go ahead and make the call. They have a conference and they do that. Where was that in this situation? And you're going to tell me that because there was a linesman and a referee right there for the Mayfield play. You're going to tell me both of them in real time
Saw that
slight pop of the stick that was on the board's side of the players. You both saw that clearly, that you could both say, nah, we're good. That doesn't make sense to me. So the smart people who know the rules, and Mike Rupp, who actually played for all three teams in the area, he did a video that went on Twitter to explain, and it was slow motion. And he shows, there, see the pop of the stick. That's why you don't make the call, because his pop of the stick caused the high stick. Therefore, it's not a call. And I'm saying, all right, if that's what you're saying, fine. But there's two things that I know. One is, a player is supposed to be in control of his stick. The follow through on a shot is one thing. But if it's your stick is just flying around and it happens to be caught up behind you and a player pops it and hits you in the face, you're still supposed to be responsible for your stick. That's one. And then number two is, you're slowing that video down to show me the pop of the stick. There's no chance those officials saw that in real time. No chance. 800-919-3776. Let's see. Let's see. The Islander fans want to come out. I'm going to give you that chance right now to rant, rave, express your frustration. Get it off your chest. Drew and Clifton, start us off. Drew.
Hey, Alan. Hi, Bart. How are you guys?
What's happening?
All right. So I agree. You got to be in control of your stick. And it should have been called a penalty. And the 6 power plays to 0 are terrible. But Brendan Moore's comments after the game are even more egregious. To tell me that J.G. Pajot tomahawk chopped Teravainen, that's crap. That's a move. That's the same move that he's done for the last, when he played in this league, 1,000 times. And to do that, to try to, you know, stir it, like we're playing dirty, that really kicked me off. So I want the Islanders to come out flying tomorrow night, score the first goal.
That's all you can do.
And let's win this game. We'll get it back. We'll get it back to Carolina, tied at 2. Let's go, Islanders.
All right, Drew. I mean, I remember this way back in the Maple Leaf series, same kind of thing. The first two games, especially game 2, 2002. It was a long time ago, but it just sticks in my mind. Game 2 of that series, the Islanders were angry at a lot of non-calls. And Mike Milbury, the general manager at the time, on the off day, took a video. Back in the day, it's VHS.
Made a clip. Highlight tape.
Told the media, follow me. We all went into this room, popped it in, and showed play-by-play, one after another, of plays. And he used 26 F-bombs in this entire diatribe that he gave to us as right, all of us.
What was it, like Bernie Mac? Seen Johnny?
Yeah. It was like he kept going on and going on and going, it's a blanking can opener. He was screaming, right? He got fined heavily by the league, but it was worth it.
Exactly.
Because game 3, A, took the pressure off his team. Game 3 now at home, and the honors came out, and it was a really good game. And then that series ended up being like a real bloody physical series. It went seven, but it was just that moment that you felt like, all right, message sent, and his team overcame the frustration of the officiating.
And here's
maybe Lou Lamoriello needs to do a little something like that.
But here's the frustration. Here's the difficulty when you fall down 0-2. It's the mental fatigue that you get to try and just get back to 500. And you have to be mentally strong. And you got to be able to refresh. And you can't let this game linger. You can't let game two affect game three.
And they played a good – here's the thing. They played well enough to win.
And that hurts.
They
that
did not
hurts.
Have a good first game, but they still, even in game one, they played the bad first period, and then they got right. And then since that bad first period in game one, they've played their game. And they were good. And I guess the most frustrating thing is up 3-2,
yeah,
you've got to hold on to that lead. And instead, 3 minutes later, your goalie gives up one off the back of his head. Your goalie, who is, by the way—
supposed to be him.
He is supposed to be him. Sorokin is considered an elite goalie, and he is somebody that is believed to be one of the best in the league. He has not played like that, because even the overtime goal deep in his net, the one off the back of his head was one that it's mind-boggling. It was a great shot by Slavin. It's a great shot, but you can't get beat by that. You can't do it. You've got to make those stops. You have to win that game on the road and come back in a split. That hasn't happened. So not to take all of the attention away by just saying they didn't get any power plays. Their power play sucks. They didn't get any power plays, bad bounces and all that stuff. But there is one thing that needs to get better. Their goaltender. And he's supposed to be their best player. He needs to be better for the rest of this series. For them to have a chance, he has to be their best player. And you could argue
it's time to stand on his head.
He has not. He has not. Do we have DiPietro on Sorokin? Do we have that stuff from this morning? I'd love to hear what Rick has to say. Generally, he's very protective.
Does Rick go and give him a pep talk?
A pep talk?
He's alumni.
No, he's alumni for sure.
So it's time
I don't think he needs a pep talk. I just think he needs to get right. That's what he needs to be. But I'm just curious again, because we're going to dwell on calls. Fans get frustrated by that stuff. That is the center of your emotion a lot of times with this. But when you see overtime goal go in, when you see the game tying goal, there's a part of you that kind of shakes your head like, hang on a second. I get it. But you got to make that. You got to make a save, please.
Yeah, man. Come on, bro.
Like, I understand things work against you, but you got to make a save, man. Help me, please.
We look to the great players to be great.
That's exactly right. In all playoff series, no matter who it is.
Everything else is supposed to be extra. But we should be able to depend on the fact that he's going to stand on his head.
And I thought Matt Barzal started, who's, again, probably their best skater, back from injury in his second playoff game, started buzzing, got a goal. That was important for him to get kind of back on the score sheet. And so he's giving you a little something.
What's your confidence level?
Very confident. And I wasn't, after game one, I'll be honest with you, after game one, because of that first period and how bad they were defensively, I thought, you know what, this team just isn't what they were. But then the third period and game two, I watched and I said, you know what, they're starting to kind of find themselves again. And when I was watching last night, I kind of started to feel a little more confident that I think they can win this series. And when they went up 3-2, Brock Nelson, what a goal that was by Nelson. When they went up 3-2, Bart, I'm like, you know what? They're going to come back 1-1. And now they got control of this series. I think they can win this series. I started to believe. And I believe partly because you've got a goalie that can win you a playoff series.
Right.
And then he gives one up off the back of his head. And then the overtime goal? Sorry. That confidence started to wane because I got to believe in the goalie. Moshe and Cedarhurst. Moshe.
Yeah, what's up?
How we doing?
First time, long time. I'm just really upset at the refs last night. I went back and I watched the play afterwards, and you see Mayfield gets hit. He starts skating to the bench. The Canes player hits him in the head because he's trying to get on sides, and then Mayfield's on the way to the bench, and then they start the rush and score.
Yep.
I also want to ask Bart, do the refs really care what the fans are saying? Because the fans are chanting, refs, you suck, the whole time.
They did.
When they're like, did nothing.
They're not supposed to.
Did the refs really care?
I don't think they're supposed to, and I don't really think they do. I think their beefs and gripes are more when players complain to them and criticize them. I don't think it's more what the fans say. The fans are supposed to say, ref, you suck. You know what I mean? Depending on what
which is ironic since they got six power plays. The only penalty called against them was during what was a four-minute, I believe it was the, wasn't it the Aho one because he drew blood? It was during that that they got the two-minute, they got a penalty during it, and so it negated. There was a lot of four-on-four play within that. But that's it. Other than that, allegedly, the Carolina Hurricanes played a clean defensive game with no infractions whatsoever. Not a slash.
Just didn't get caught.
Nothing. Oh, and by the way, at the end of the period, was it the second period? No, it was the end of the first period, I believe. There was definitely, it got rough. And it was right. It was the end of the first. It was Matt Martin, I believe, took out, who was it? I mean, it was not dirty, but it was like pretty illegal. Just took him out and then sat on him, which you can't do. And then what ensued after that?
Who was he, Yokozuna?
He literally sat on him. But what ensued after that was, I mean, you had Carolina players jumping on the backs of Islander players, and there was a lot of stuff going on there. Nothing. The only thing called.
So was it a let it play game?
Yeah, the only thing called was just the one. Yeah, the one penalty, and that's it. So that's like literally when you know, when you see that's how it's going to be called, but then six go against you, and it was, like I said, one or two are a little marginal, but
6-0?
Yeah, let's hear. So I want to hear from Rico on this stuff.
Let's go tricky, Ricky.
So let's go with the penalties part of this thing first. Hopefully we'll get the goaltending stuff, because I'm really curious about that. Because he knows goaltending better than anybody. But me watching that I was thinking to myself, nah, man, no, Sorokin's got to be better than that. I know that's an elite shot, but you got to be better. So here's Rico talking about the penalty disparity.
I was surprised that there were that many penalties called against the Islanders and six.
Four, in fact, right? Two double minors.
Here's my only issue with this, is the Islanders' power play is not very good anyway.
Right.
And you had a lead in the third period. In a game where you actually scored. You scored three goals, but Sorokin just, I mean, he's not going to be perfect all the time. It's just, it was one of those games where you would have liked to have been able to close it out after you get that 3-2 lead.
All right. See, I understand what he's doing there. I mean, I've known this dude for like over 20 years, so I know when he says things and then what he really means.
Let's give the Rick BS translator.
Yeah, that's a BS translator. All right, that's one for the BS translator. That part at the end. Yeah, he's got to be better.
But
that's, again, the goalie fraternity, so he's not going to completely destroy him, right? But that's his way of being critical. That basically means, like, yeah, you got to stop that. That's the nice way of saying he wasn't good enough. That's my read. That's my BS translator off that last part of it. He'll never do it. Again, it's the fraternity. He's the alumni. He has to be careful, and I completely understand and respect it. But what I read out of that last part is him saying, yeah, you got to be better than that. You got to give me more than that. You can't give up a goal like that. And you can't. And he cannot. They have no chance in this series if he's going to play that way. Did he play bad? No. Was he terrible? No. He
needs to be elite.
But he wasn't elite. Because, by the way, Carolina's goalie, Ranta, he wasn't good. Like, they had him a little rattled. He wasn't really good. Their defense is so good in front of him that he doesn't have to make great saves. But when he faced good shots, I mean, that Nelson shot was a laser. You know, they can beat him. Their backup, by the way, their starter, what do you think of this, Bart? Their starter is Fred Anderson, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been their starter all year. He didn't play well down the stretch. So, and Ranta did, so they played him. They made him the starter.
Mm.
You know that Anderson showed up for game two? Illness. Was not available. He didn't dress as the backup. Illness. Really?
Reminds me of some...
Allergic to the playoffs.
Some Osgood Hasek type of drama going on over there, man.
I'm just saying. Like, I think if they can get to the goaltending, they have a shot in this series. But your goalie has to be better.
Must win.
Of course it is.
So who you calling out? Must win.
Must win for who?
Islanders.
Yeah.
Must win.
So Sorokin's got to be great. He's got to be great. That's it. There's nothing more to say.
It's a must win for them.
He has to be great. He can't be just good. He can't even be above average. He has to be great.
And if he's not, what does that mean for the coach?
Well, there's another story to talk about. That we'll talk about after.
Because you'll be able to see how much they love their coach by how they play game three.
Well, I thought they've had a really good game two, though. They had a great game two.
Get her done. Like you said.
I thought they played that. That team was the team I recognized. The core of that team has gone to two conference championships. I thought they played that level.
Yeah.
And yet, I mean, I don't know. It's his first year, but
Brian used to tell us all the time, man, if you like the way you guys practice and all the rest time you get, y'all better win. Because they don't get me up out of here. And they're going to bring somebody totally opposite of me.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, Coach. We love being able to go home in training camp after day one if you're a veteran. Yeah. Let me go ahead and give him everything I got.
Let me ask you this. When it comes to the coach thing, because I don't want to say it yet, but if this series doesn't go the right way, I'm going to have a lot to say about the coaching situation and what I think needs to happen.
Yeah.
But I've heard this said many times before. A team with no leaders doesn't win, right?
Yeah.
When the coach is the leader, it's a good team, not a great team. But when the players are the leaders, it's a great team.
Yeah, your peers. It's about the peers.
This team has leaders. They have guys who have been there, done that. This is a veteran group.
I'm telling you, they
have been underachieving all year up until this point where I thought this was a really good – they played a really good game in game two. Just lost on bounces and goaltending and no calls.
This situation reminds me so much of Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians.
Mm.
Same team, and you're like – what's different?
That's a good one.
The leadership, the practice, the tension.
That's a good one.
The mental warfare that you have.
That's a great comparison.
To keep your guys on edge.
It's a great comparison.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Tom Brady and Mike Evans ain't on the same page. You've been together 3 years.
Yeah.
How are y'all practicing? What are y'all doing? Are y'all being held accountable?
Interesting.
Sometimes you got to crack the whip.
800-919-3776. All right, so we'll get the call stacked, racked, and ready to go. We want you to join the Islanders this Friday night for their first home game of the 2023 Stanley Cup playoffs. Kick off the pregame celebration starting at 4 p.m. at the Plaza Party outside the main entrance of UBS Arena with music, food, and beverage specials. A meet and greet with Bob Nystrom, my hero, by the way. Bob Nystrom, my first, like, he and Bucky Dent, my first, like, heroes as athletes.
You got anything
signed?
Number
23, by the way.
Got anything signed?
I don't. But he wrote a foreword in one of my Islander books. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, that's big right there.
All right. Learn how you can get priority access to playoff tickets by calling 888-NY-ISLES or visiting NewYorkIslanders.com/score. That's 888-NY-ISLES or NewYorkIslanders.com/score.
All right, pull out the green suit. Where's Damon Woody?
But here's the problem. It's Friday night. I need you at the Garden.
Oh, yeah, I'm at the Garden. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
Maybe Damian Woody, though, because he's a big Islanders fan. We can get D. Wood.
He has a little jean jacket on.
We can get him there. You know? Yeah, we have to have full coverage this weekend. How busy of a playoff weekend is this? Islanders playoffs Friday. Rangers Thursday night, right? Tonight?
Game two? Whoa.
We got...
Stop it.
Rangers tonight?
No, stop it.
What's stop it?
I ain't going to say Rangers. Devils tonight.
No, it's Rangers tonight. Rangers Devils tonight.
Islanders, you don't even mention the other local team.
But listen, I'm talking about home. All right, so here's the home thing.
Okay.
In the confines of New York City, you have Islanders tomorrow night. You have Knicks tomorrow night, home games. Rangers Saturday, right? Sunday, Knicks again. Like, it's a busy weekend.
And then Mega Fight Saturday.
Where is that?
Mega Fight. It's in Vegas.
Oh,
Mega
I'm talking
fight.
About here in the town.
I know. I'm just talking about just...
We're not on a national network anymore.
No, I'm trying to plan people's day, but this is a fight city. Madison Square Garden hosted some of the best heavyweight fights.
Oh, you're right.
This is a fight city, and this is a fight that's like... I don't want to say Meldrick Taylor. I'll say this is like... This is like Floyd... Let's go. This is like Tommy Hearns and Hagler. Like, this is a fight that people want to see.
Okay.
Finally, the fans are getting the fight they want to see. And then, the announcement that's supposed to take place after this fight.
An announcement.
We may finally get Bud Crawford and Errol Spence. Oh, I am not showing up for work. I don't care what we got going on. I will not be here. All I right. will be there.
You say so.
Y'all on New York City Radio, do better.
I got a little scratch in my throat. I don't want to expose anybody.
800-919-3776
I'm
is
out.
The number. So, we have the Islanders situation to get to with you. If you want to call in about that, we've got a lot of baseball stuff as well. Max Scherzer, little spider tacky.
Okay, hold up, Gerrit Cole Jr.
That one is one that I'm a little, like, I'm with you on this one.
Yeah.
I think this is ridiculous, and Scott Boras even,
yeah,
he decided to sound off on this as well. You got to hear about all that and the fallout of that whole situation. Aaron Judge, Bart Scott, outshines Shohei.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, if he was 6'7", he wouldn't have got that ball.
But he's not. That was fun. And Bart's going to love this. You don't want to miss the segment with Bart Scott's new favorite player, Dylan Brooks, who is loves to be the heel.
Tito Santana want to be dude.
He took it way too far.
Like, stop it, man.
And, of course, all your calls on the Knicks as well. And the Nets play tonight against the Sixers. Can they get a game? 800-919-3776. So we're just getting started.
Man, you didn't have no enthusiasm when you said the Nets, man.
What do you mean? I just said, can they get a game?
Man, you had...
What? I mean, I said, can they get a game?
Wait till they get Dame Dollar.
I said, can they get a game? Wait till the Sixers get
Dame Dollar.
Wait till the Sixers get Dame Dollar.
You ain't doing that. You don't want the Nets to have nothing good. What's wrong with all this tri-state hate? Low energy when it comes to the Devils.
I wasn't low energy. All I said was the Rangers game. And you got upset.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We just watched, like, during the break on ABC, like a low-light film. I don't want to say even highlight. A low-light film of bad stuff that happened in the city.
Sunday Craig, I told you what I saw coming here, why I walked in late.
What the hell are we doing?
Box truck just... They wouldn't let him over because he, as a long line, and somebody trying to drive up the side and cut somebody off.
Right.
And, like, wasn't having it. And, pulled up. This dude just cut in front of the lady, pulled her bumper off, and tried to book it across the West Side Highway. Didn't know that when he did that, it was a cop traffic car right behind him.
Got you.
Got him in the Mr. T van. Pull this over, son. And then she got out. You feel so bad. This is like a woman, and she just pulled her whole bumper off. And then
tore the front of the car.
It's an Audi
apart.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Like an 8 Series too.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Yeah, he gonna get fired.
I had a box truck take out my front bumper. This was like last year. Remember that?
Yeah.
Right. Same kind of thing. Where
I got a scratch on mine from that too.
But he's like, the guy was basically like, I'm merging over.
Yeah, and ain't nothing you
and
can do
he,
about it.
He just decided, no, I'm not letting you in.
Yeah,
and like gunned it.
Yeah.
Took out the whole side. And I'm like, and by the way, now again, insurance took care of it.
Yeah.
But that was expensive.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and start walking around with a homie the clown thing. So whenever I get out there, you just want to be homie, play that. Yeah.
The sock with the weight
the
at
sock,
the end
yeah,
of it.
Yeah. The weighted sock. Homie, don't play that sock. Because people out here set tripping right now, man. Driving in the city, it's getting hot. More tourists,
more frustration,
more people coming in.
More it's like the aggressive thing has gone overboard now. It's like now everybody has got to flex. Everybody. Hey, I mean, I'm with you.
Homie the clown. Mm-hmm. Homie the clown. Don't mess around.
Homie, don't play that. Yeah. Well, 800-919-3776 is the number. There's a lot of different places we can go here. We can go positive. We can go negative. Which one? Because there's a bunch of stories here. Do you want positive or negative when it comes to the next story that
let's,
we discuss?
Let's flesh the negative out because I think people get it. Negative spurns emotion.
It does.
And I'm looking for some Ralph Transvan sensitivity stuff right now. Some baby sensey stuff.
You need a man, not any man. Well, all right. So then we'll go to your Mets.
Yes.
And what happened yesterday?
Appalling.
In L.A.
Appalling. Thank God they had the Manchurian candidate on the other side. Good old Syndergaard. You can always depend on him.
He wasn't terrible, but it was Nimmo who came through later on, and the Mets do get the win. But Max Scherzer was ejected, and this game was going on. This game started right after our show ended yesterday.
Yep.
The Mets win 5-3, but that really wasn't the story, and this is now something to certainly keep an eye on. So Max Scherzer was ejected by umpire Phil Cuzzi after his glove and hands were inspected, I believe, twice or even thrice. And they had had enough of his hands being sticky. And he, like to hear him explain what happened, why it happened, all that stuff, it makes you just sit there and say to yourself, all right, there's no way he did anything on. Because you know how it is when you're guilty?
Yeah.
You know you were trying to pull some stuff.
You gave me three times to wash it off, and I'm just going to put more on there? Like, right. Come on.
Right, exactly. So here, this is the part of it. So the hand was inspected. They were saying he used too much rosin, and he had sweat because it was an afternoon game in L.A., and he had sweat. And he said his hands were too sticky. So he washed his hands, came back out, and they said something about the glove.
It was sticky. And also, I switched glove.
The umpires had a statement afterwards, and they said that whatever he had on his hands was so sticky that it stayed on the umpire's fingers for like 3 innings later, my hands were still sticky. That's what they're saying. And so, here.
Of course stuff goes stay sticky if you got adhesive on it, if you don't go wash it. Did the ump go wash his hand?
So let's go. Let's just hear Max Scherzer give his side of this wild story.
So after the second inning, you know, my hand, it was a little clumpy from the rosin and sweat that it was clumpy, and Phil told me to wash off. So I washed it off, you know, came back out there after the third, you know, with alcohol, you know, I washed it with alcohol and rosin. And when I went back out there, you know, the alcohol for a little bit there can be sticky if in rosin, that can happen. So he was like, that's too sticky. You need to go back on there, wash it off again and reapply the rosin. And so I did that. And then at the same time, he thought my glove had too much rosin on it. And I was like, okay, if that's a problem, and there's nothing going on. You know, he's like, you need a new glove. Like, okay. So come back out, pitch the third, and knew I was going to get checked in the fourth. So I'd have to be an absolute idiot to try to do anything when I'm coming back out for the fourth. So after that third inning, I'm in front of the MLB official that's underneath here. I wash my hand with alcohol in front of the official. I then apply rosin, and then I grab sweat. When I then go back out there, and Phil Cuzzi says that my hand's too sticky. I don't get it. Yes, when you use sweat and rosin, your hand is sticky. But I don't get how I get ejected when I'm in front of MLB officials doing exactly what you want and being deemed my hands too sticky when I'm using legal substance. I do not understand that.
I'll tell you what, Bart. Now, none of us know for sure if there was anything other than him using alcohol, some sweat, and then rosin. We don't know.
What sweat?
But I'm just going to say.
What sweat? Because he had like his sweat, like he applying some type of
substance.
He was
sweating. So he's got sweat in his arm, and you touch your arm so you get a little bit of that moisture. I mean, it's just the whole part of what you do. But hearing that entire explanation, I don't have to know anything more. Human behavior gives away a lot of times when you know you're doing something wrong, right?
Yeah.
You could just hear it in his voice.
In front of an official.
Yeah, well, that's the other part.
I washed it in front of the official with alcohol.
Right.
What I've heard is alcohol can make it even more sticky. But alcohol is supposed to be something. What do you need? He need goop off.
But the alcohol gets the rosin off.
Right.
It gets the stick off.
Right.
It gets it off.
They need to start getting Simple Green and Goof off in there. Because like, what else am I supposed to do? Alcohol is supposed to get everything off.
I mean, think about it this way as well. When you are trying to cheat, and then you know they're on to me. You don't double down.
I have an
official
in a row
watching me wash my hands and get a new glove.
Change my
I'm still gonna try to pull some stuff. Like, this is what he said.
Like, I knew I was going to get checked. I'd have to be an absolute idiot to use anything else. I literally go out there with sweat and rosin. I get ejected.
Like, I mean, you'd have to be an absolute idiot. But and that's the best way to put it.
Buck, the fact that Buck didn't get out, like, I thought he was going to lose. I thought he would lose it. I would lose it. You almost got to lose it to protect your player.
Yeah.
Maybe the game was too important. He knew he couldn't get it thrown out, you know, because they wanted to make sure that they win the series. And, you know, I thought he would have been outraged. You know, the fact that, you know, we going through this gymnastics. It's not like this is the seventh inning or the sixth inning. Like, he still probably had two more, you know, he probably would have pitched to the sixth. This is an important game against a good opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And you're throwing out my ace after we've been complicit. That, you know, we sat up here, you tell us, wash it, get a new glove. I've done all that. And I get thrown out. And the crazy part is, if he gets a four-game suspension, that's the thing.
Oh, it's 10.
10?
10.
Is he only like the third person to ever get thrown out of the game for the check? The fourth? 10-game suspension? You're already without Verlander? Are you got as Ghostbuster?
You got the ghost pitch guy. Caught a single, but...
What is something strange?
Yeah.
In a neighbor.
He's throwing a ghost
good.
Fork.
That feels good every time.
He's throwing a ghost fork. We're not going to check that, though. But here, this is when you also know. So Scott Boras also, who's one of, first of all, he's the most powerful agent, huge influence on the sport, right? Yeah. Represents Scherzer. And he went also on a rant about this. He talked to Joel Sherman of the Post. And this I thought was really interesting. So he said, MLB standards and rules enforcement should mandate and require an objective, verifiable standard. If you want to attack the integrity of the competition, you need clear, precise standards, else you damage the game and its players. And this is my favorite line. Now, remember, Phil Cuzzy, right, was the umpire who threw him out.
Yeah.
He said, the Cuzzy on-field spectrometer is not the answer. That's the ultimate, like, high-level intellectual diss track ever.
He shouldn't be qualified. He's not qualified.
The Cuzzy on-field spectrometer is not the answer. MLB needs to employ available scientific methods, not subjective, to create verifiable certainty of its rules. And I'm in agreement. How are we at a point now where we don't have, like, Bart, you know when you go to the airport,
yeah,
and you have your bag and your bag goes through, and then they want to swab the bag for any type of residue?
Yeah.
We don't have that ability in baseball. Like, he's walking off and you don't like the way it feels, so let me just swab that real quick. And then in between innings, like, all right, let me just throw that through the thing, put a couple of drops down. All right, yeah, no,
if it turns blue.
Spider tacky. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's nothing that you can do.
Yeah, or
that can verify whether you're using an illegal substance or not.
What if you get we got the independent neurologist. Like, let's have the independent glueologist.
The glueologist.
Stickologist.
So here's the statement from the umpires. And this is going to sound like this is levels of creepy. And I know this is going to be used against me in the future. Because of the wording and how this sounds. So just understand
phrasing
is on its way. This is the statement from the umpires. As far as stickiness, level of stickiness, this was the stickiest that it has been since I've been inspecting hands, which now goes back 3 seasons.
You know what? I don't know.
Compared to the first inning, the level of stickiness, it was so sticky that when we touched his hand, our fingers were sticking to his hand.
What?
And whatever was on there remained on our fingers afterwards for a couple of innings, where you could still feel that the fingers were sticking together.
Phrasing.
That might be the dumbest. Like, of course, if you touch adhesive and took dirt or dust get on, it's on your finger. You have to wash your damn hands. Like, I don't care what it is, what level of sticky. If I put some alger syrup,
the
real syrup, alger. Yeah, that's like, you think.
Did you say syrup?
Yeah, syrup.
Okay, go ahead.
Give you some alga syrup, that's going to stay on your hand until, one, you get enough dust on it to make your fingers slick again, or you wash it off.
I mean.
And that's syrup.
Dan Bellino making this statement is
the,
like,
stickiest stick this, that I've ever sticked
this
with.
This is the stickiest stickiness I ever
felt. You haven't
felt.
Checked everybody. Like, you haven't checked everybody. That's the thing. In 3 years, you haven't checked everybody.
Yo, he said as far as stickiness, level of stickiness, this was the stickiest that it's been since I've been inspecting hands.
But he had a Spider-Man web on his hand?
This is the stickiest of the sticky.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? What are
and
we
then
doing?
It's like, compared to the first thing, the level of stickiness was so sticky that when we touched his hands, our fingers were sticking to his hand. We were stuck together. Forever. Stuck together.
Hey, phrasing!
And our fingers stuck together.
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore?
Sticky. It was so sticky, it was...
Like Elliot on E.T.? Is that what it was? Like, come on, man.
Like, I love baseball. It gives you things like this that you like. In what other sport would you be talking about stickiness?
I mean, we talk about the Spider Tacky 3000, so he's telling me that it's stickier than the Spider Tacky.
I love it. 800-919-3776. How do we feel about it? How sticky are you today? It's just beautiful.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Cuckoo!
Busy night tonight. Sixers Nets game 3.
I'm going to need you to say that with some positivity, man.
Angels Yankees. So, all right, let me get this straight. So, Angels Yankees at 4. Sixers Nets. Does that mean Nets will be on yes? Because they had another. The other game, what was it? Was game 2 on like Channel 9 or something? That's the one thing I want to. I don't know if anybody else has. Does anybody else have Yes 2? On Fios, I have Yes 2. And there's nothing ever on it.
It's a Yes 2?
And then I'm looking for the Nets game because the Yankees were playing at the same time. And there was nothing on Yes 2. And I'm like, where the hell is this game? It was on Channel 9.
Oh, is that like PIX 11?
No, it's Channel 9. PIX 11 is Channel 11. Is that like PIX 11?
No, because PIX 11, depending on your server, can not be PIX 11. It can be PIX 11 on Channel 9.
7:30 TNT has the national, but again, you like watching the local. I'd love to get Ian Eagle. It'd be great on the call. He might be busy. Ruco, take him. Right? Like what am I getting? But I'm curious to see if that game will be on yes, because if the Yankees game's at 4, that should be technically done around 6:30, right? Before 7 for sure. So you can get that game on yes. All right.
Yes 2?
Yes 2, which has nothing.
Is it a
why
yes 3?
Why would it be yes 2 if there's nothing on it? Well, why would you even need a yes 3 if there's nothing on yes 2?
Because 3
we
sounds
We have MSG
lucky.
The Ocho. We have so many MSG channels because they have so many teams. Devils, we have the Devils broadcast.
Oh, soccer.
The Rangers broadcast.
Who does soccer?
And then we have, Yes has NYCFC, and then MSG has Red Bull.
Do y'all do cricket?
No.
Okay. Squash?
No. That's on like, what is that channel, BN? They have all that stuff.
You know what they should get? They should get that new trampoline basketball league. Hey, that's, where you dribble in between.
That's pretty crazy. That was popular like way back.
That's like the basketball version of roller derby. Like, they should bring roller derby back. Roller derby used to be the stuff when I was
I never understood roller derby. Did you?
Yeah.
Did you know the rules or the point system?
No, I just think...
All of a sudden, some guy knocked someone out and then skated with his hands up like, I won. Like, what? How did you win? What happened?
I think you got to get around the circle a couple times without being, like, thrown off or something like that.
So you have to... You can't...
You're spacing the circle.
Well, people have been knocked down and then they get up anyway.
Yes, but that's putting you behind. It's just like... Hold up. It's like NASCAR, man. You're going in a circle. You're making all left turns.
It really is just the oval. Yeah, I never understood the scoring of roller derby, but it was really popular in the 70s.
It used to come on right before GLOW. Ladies Wrestling, Big Bad Mama.
I actually remember.
Plus it was Channel 38.
I remember it was on TV.
Big Bad Mama.
Never understood it, but it was on. Rangers Devils tonight.
Thank you.
You get.
Thank you for including the guest team. That's
and the Mets start a series with the San Francisco Giants, 9:45, right? That's the night, I believe, as well. 800-919-3776, of course, is the call to be part of the conversation. We'll get the calls set up, ready to go. But we have more to get to. We're still one more day before we get to game 3 tomorrow night. Knicks and the Cavs. But already, as we mentioned, are you yawning in my face again? Literally. Like, you need to get some sleep.
I get sleep.
No, you don't. Listen, this has been an epidemic now for at least 2 weeks. Dino, am I not right? Since he's been back from vacation, although you did miss a week. You were on vacation. since he's been back. He never used to do this before. Since he's been back, he routinely throughout the show will go.
He is big on the yawn growl.
I mean, just. No, bro. Like, you're exhausted.
I've been lifting, man, and boxing and doing all this stuff, man. And it's just like every once in a while, my body exhales. The crazy thing is, I slept.
Am I boring you? Have we reached that point in our relationship where, like, you're bored of me now?
No, no. See, there you go. No, like, I went,
you don't bring up anymore. You never talk about the husky eye thing. You never
need some costumes, Alan.
Is that what I need to do?
Some excitement in the life.
Start bringing in some other things to talk about.
Dyes hair, Albin.
Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
I just need to spice it up a little bit, maybe.
Alan Hahn is a big dude.
You know? But that'd
be
enough.
No, man. Yesterday I did boxing, and then I was coming off a leg day squat at 8 o'clock.
I know what I got to do. I got to bring in Donna.
Bart, I'll get you fired up.
Bring in Donna. That'll get it done. Hour number two coming up. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn.
Holla at me, Don.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.